Welcome, great people, to February 23rd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joe DeCristoforo.
And one of the reasons why I do this show is because Americans, unlike just about everyone else on planet Earth, tend to fly our flag everywhere. It is epic. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flag if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts. And begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America!
And on today's episode, we'll wish a happy birthday to John Sutter, Woody Guthrie will write This Land Is Your Land,
and Lee Redman wins the world's record for having the longest fingernails for a female.
Okay, so let's get started.
1803, happy birthday, John Sutter. This German-born Swiss pioneer of California had a share of ups and downs, starting with his businesses in Switzerland. Upon its failure, Johann August Sutter deserted his family to head to better opportunities in America. He didn't make it to California right away. In fact, that's pretty much when everywhere else but California. Upon his arrival to New York City, he changed his name to John Sutter and headed to Missouri to become a merchant and innkeeper. His story was that he was a captain of the Royal Swiss Guard of the French King, and he was sticking to it. He believed his fortunes to be out west, joined an expedition to the Cascade Mountains in 1838, and made a detour first into Vancouver, then used the rest of his money to sail to Hawaii in order to charter a boat to San Francisco. But once he got to Hawaii, he realized he was out of luck since there were no boats going back to the Bay Area. John Sutter was stuck in Honolulu with no money but a lot of confidence in his story about his military record. He impressed some of the local businessmen on a project for a merchant base in the Sacramento Valley, and he was able to raise funds, supplies, and the support of 9 Hawaiians that would sail with John back to the North American West Coast. California was under Mexican ownership during 1839, and John worked a deal with his governor in Monterey, Juan Alvarado. Given a land grant, Sutter would build a settlement in the Central Valley and become a Mexican citizen. But what John didn't know was that the Sacramento Valley was full of hostile natives who didn't take too kindly to white men encroaching on their land. But John carried a sense of diplomacy in his personality and was treated well by the natives, who helped his team build his legendary fort where the American and Sacramento rivers meet. Starting out as a tent and some straw huts, Sutter's fort soon grew to include adobe buildings, and then after another land grant from Governor Alvarado, became John Sutter's enterprise. As promised, he became a Mexican citizen, and in the summer of 1840, named his empire Nueva Helvetia, or New Switzerland. Being the entrepreneur he really was, Sutter set up a blacksmith shop, distillery, flour mill, bakery, carpenter shop, and a boat to take supplies to and from the San Francisco Bay. Cha-ching! By 1844, Sutter's fort was much more than a trading post. It was a virtual town, with John living in a giant estate. In 1845, the Sacramento Kings started losing basketball games. In 1846, a few remaining members of the Donner Party were rescued and taken to Sutter's Fort. Finally, in 1847, John's buddy James Marshall was working on a sawmill about 50 miles east of the fort and discovered that little gold nugget that would change the world. Starting with the fort. I go into that in more detail on my January 24th ep, but basically, California was very lawless. If you mined and found gold, you best not let anyone see it or they would beat you up and take it. John's Native American guards couldn't withstand the flood of gold seekers from America and the rest of the world, so they, along with everyone else who worked for John, ran to the hills looking for gold. After the 49ers came in and ransacked John's lands, John would declare bankruptcy in 1852. In order to avoid losing it all, he signed the land over to his son, John Sutter Jr., who would use it to start building the city of Sacramento, where the Kings have been losing ever since. Damn it, guys! Get it together! Sutter moved into the area known today as Yuba City, or Yuba City as some of the locals call it. Then he made his way to Washington, D.C. in 1865, where he tried to settle a dispute over his Sobrante land grant he got from Governor Alvarado, now null and void. He moved to Pennsylvania in 1871, where his health continued to decline. The courts would rule in Captain Sutter's favor on June 16, 1880, and awarded him $50,000. 2 days later, John died of a heart failure. His friend and once political ally from the Bear Flag Revolt, John Fremont, also general of the Union Army during the Civil War and one of California's first United States senators, was actually one of Sutter's pallbearers. The New York Times pointed out his rise and falls from the depths of poverty to the wealthiest man on the Pacific Coast. Even though he would lose his fortune, he remained courtly and dignified. In 2010, California Governor Jerry Brown named his Welsh corgi Sutter Brown. Happy birthday, John!
1940, Woody Guthrie writes, "This land is your land." Even though he was a bit of a communist, as this song title implies, Guthrie turned out to be fairly patriotic. He wrote the song in response to Irving Berlin's God Bless America, and originally called his version God Blessed America. He replaced the words in the song's chorus, God Blessed America, to "This land was made for you and me." There is a recording of two other verses you can find at the Smithsonian, or online, which is a lot easier and faster.
2008, Lee Redman wins the world's record for longest fingernails female. It took her 30 years to grow it. Daring to be different indeed, she used them sometimes to speak in front of junior high classes, talking about self-esteem. 28 feet, 4.5 inches. They were trimmed to be round in shape, like an arc. Not bendy and twisty like other fingernail record holders. Ew! Nah. Lee's were beautifully manicured until the day she got into a four-car pileup while traveling as a passenger in an SUV in 2009. Lee was rushed to the hospital and survived major injuries, but the nails were for the most part gone. Lee came to grips with the fact that she doesn't need her nails to use as a fence around her beautiful personality.
And that's all I got for February 23rd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. On tomorrow's program, President Andrew Johnson, the Steam Shovel, the Caribbean Basin Initiative, Hustler Magazine, and Ray Charles. In the meantime, check out the website at joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Leave a comment on the comment board. Be sure to reference which story upon which you are commenting, and take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes. So until tomorrow, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.